purpose of the quiz. About the Bechira, about Bechira. Free will. That was Achenbaum Hilchas Tshuva Perek Vav. Halacha Hey. Ram says like this. The Ram in this Perek is concerned with the question of Bechira Chashis. And he explains different psukim that might lead one to believe that there is a force which coerces him to be the good or evil. And he explains that this isn't so. Explains the psukim. So in the last halacha, halacha hey, he says like this. He says, we'd see from that pasuk that the pasuk that that God is good and therefore He teaches chatoim away. So we'd see that Yora, with the word Yora, even though Yora means to shoot forth, but you could interpret to mean Yora that he forces the Chatoyim, he forces them, he coerces them. So Ram says, no, it doesn't mean that. He says, it doesn't mean that God really is instrumental in bringing the Chote back from his bad ways, because that's up to him. He has to do this himself, out of Bechira. It means that he sent Nevi'im to them who teach them the truth. And then they themselves, he creates the situation, but not that he actually causes them directly to be good. The act of being good, the final performance of the good is done by themselves, self-determined. But he gives them the situation, and in this framework, in the situation which they have, they can exercise their own self-determination. Okay. That's what he says. So that's what the pasuk means. V'alch nasim bem koch lo mol lohaven. And also it means that it's praising God because He gave them the ability to learn and to understand. Shemi b'zu b'chol lohaven. Because this is true with every person. Shekoz man shen nimshach b'darchei ha-chochma v'atzedek mis'ava lohen v'rodef hasam. Interesting Rama. That is this exists among every person, that as long as he follows the path of chachma and righteousness, he desires it and he runs after it. So really, some ask the kasha in the Rambam. When the Rambam said that Avas Hashem is an intellectual phenomena, so they ask the kasha. They say that that's okay for an intellectual, but most people aren't intellectuals. So the mitzvah of Avas Hashem has to be for everybody. It can't just be for an intellectual. Yachid b'dor. So they said, therefore, since this is the case, they wanted to argue with the Rambam. They said that it's really not an intellectual thing, but it's an emotional thing. So you see, the Rambam over here disagrees, because the Rambam says shemidazu b'chol adam shekozman shu nimshach b'darkei chachma misavolem v'atzedek misavolem v'rodev osam. Really, the enjoyment of chachma, the enjoyment of knowledge, exists in every person. The question is a question of degree. And many times people don't enjoy chachma because of the way they were taught, so that their thought processes were corrupted. But the truth of the matter is that every individual has that ability, and so far as long as he's a normal human being, he has the ability to enjoy chachma. And you can see this is really, you can see that with little games, and sometimes even like little riddles or things that you ask a kid, figure something out, and any kid would basically be interested in it. You show him how it works. He's excited about it. The excitement of knowledge really exists in everybody. That's what the Rambam holds. If it doesn't, it's because it was destroyed. But basically, everybody has that ability. So that's why that's no kasha in the Rambam, that Avas Hashem is intellectual. It's only for intellectuals. It's not true. The amount, the quantity, is definitely not the same. Some people have the ability to think for hours and hours. Other people can only think for an hour a day, half hour a day, whatever it is. But that, the Gemara says, that doesn't make any difference. I mean, you can't change that. A person learns 2 hours a day, learns 10 hours a day. It depends on his ability. It's true, there is a certain inherent ability. Some people could do more. Others can't do as much. But the important thing is that every person in his life must experience this enjoyment, this intellectual enjoyment. That's the important thing. And so far as he can. Not everybody can do it to the degree that certain individuals can. I mean, it can't be the only guy who can learn 22 hours a day, but not everybody can do that. But the basic ability is there. Okay.
Yes.
Lumashon Razal, Bolatar Masayinaso, Klomar, Yimotse Atzmo Nezar al Adavar. So this one means Bolatar Masayinaso. What does it mean? It means, interesting, he doesn't learn Masayinaso means that it's, it means Min HaShemayim. Masayinaso means that if he decides to do good, then he will find that the, he will find that there's a momentum there, which will find himself he's involved in a certain momentum which makes it easier for him. Yimotze atzmo nezer al hadavar. So he decides he wants to live a life of chachma. So in the beginning, the first step is a very difficult one, to get into chachma. But once he gets in there, he'll find that he's drawn. That's what it means, Masayinaso. He's drawn. So the Rambam says that's what it means. That's what Chazal mean, that Baal Taras and Masayinaso. It doesn't necessarily mean that suddenly something's going to occur that will change his whole life. Masayinaso means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that he created, he gave this midah in a person. Shemidah Zuba Chalodim. The midah is that when a person runs after Chachma, it all of a sudden starts going by itself. So that's what it means. A Baal Taras, a person wants to live a good life, wants to live the correct life. So all of a sudden he finds that he himself is drawn into it, and he is helped. Yimatz atzmo nezer al hadavar. He himself is pulled along, and therefore he gains without doing anything on his own even. So Masayinaso means that he doesn't have to do the whole perfection, the act of perfecting himself alone. He starts it, and then it itself pulls him forward. That's what it means, Masayinaso. That's what Rambam says. Dark chachma said, Misavelohen v'rodev aharen. What the Rambam means is that psychological rule, that when a person, we've mentioned this many times, that the difficulty in learning is because all the psychic energy initially attaches itself to materialistic things. And the reason is because in early youth, all the energy attaches itself to materialism before the mind develops. The Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is until 12, 13. Then the Yetzer HaTov comes in, right? What is the Yetzer HaTov? The Yetzer HaTov is the intellect. Before that time, it's just emotions. Just emotions is always bad. Good emotions are bad emotions. Doesn't make any difference. Yes. The Chira Chavshis means that he determines the self-determination. Now, what happens after the point of self-determination is a different story. Of course, if the all the Chira Chavshis means is that he himself, there is a certain point at which he is the cause. He himself is the cause. You see? Now, after that point, that's not already a denial of the Chira Chavshis. The same, it works the opposite way too. That if a person runs after bad things, then he's also misavalan. But the thing is that the truth of the matter is that most people never really have a fair choice in life. Why? Because the taivas, you see, as long as the energy is attached to the taivas, so then it's hard for him to, he can't pull away. Because the energy, when the energy becomes attached to something, it stays there.
Is that most of the time?
That's most of the time, right. Now, really, he can't be a judge of what is a better life. The life of the taivas or the life of the terror, life of chachma. Why? Because he doesn't have a chance to judge the other types of... he doesn't have a chance to judge terror because he's attached to the taivas. However, when he withdraws, if he can, when he does withdraw from the taivas, and then he gets into the world of chachma, suddenly he'll find he's drawn there, see? Why is he drawn there? Because the truth of the matter is that that world affords greater pleasure than the other one. But the difficulty is to make the transition. You understand? To make the transition to pull yourself away from this, because you're attached to this from early youth. And if a person stops learning, immediately the energy goes back to the taivas. Then he has to withdraw. A person that's on a high level, a person that's always in the world of chachma, never has this problem because he's always there. See? Well, with most of us, what happens is that momentarily we're there, we sit and learn, we really enjoy it, see, it's great. Then you go away for a few hours, goes back. Then you have to withdraw again. That's the way it works. But once you are in that world of chachma, you're drawn there because the enjoyment is really far greater there than it is in any other area. See? But the only thing is that if you stop, naturally, the first direction of the energy is towards the physical. You have to reroute it to that which is metaphysical. Once you reroute it, then already the enjoyment is the enjoyment over there is greater. But if you stop, it goes back to the other order. That's the whole thing. We went through this a few times. Okay. I'll pass over a different question. Just like this. But the Torah says like this question. We say that everybody has Bechira Chavshis. And Bechira Chavshis means not only Jews, but it means a guy also. Ben Nayach also. Yeah, Ben Nayach also. Torah Vavodim Ve'inu Osam. Hare Gozra La Mitzriyim Lassos Ra. So you see, it says in the Torah Vavodim Ve'inu Osam that God predicted when he told Avram Avinu by Bris Ben Absorim that there will be another nation that will work and torment the Jews. So you see that there has, so apparently what does it mean? It means that God decided at that point.
It's fixed.
Fixed. Has to occur. Must occur.
Where's the Bechira?
So where is the Bechira? And the Rambam was just as disturbed with the question of Bechira for a guy as a question of Bechira for a Jew. I mean, Bechira everybody has. Bechira everybody has. No difference. Difference is Tayag or Shev Mitzvah B'nai Nayach. But in terms of Adam, a guy could be Chassid Yom HaSolem. Gemara says Bava Kama, Afilu Akum V'osak B'teres Moshe, even a guy that sat and learned Teres Moshe, Yesh Lechelek Welam Adah. So a guy is a very high existence. Nothing inherently a guy can reach a very high level. Even though the Gemara says, Adam Atem Kriyam Adam, Vein Shar Umos Kriyam Adam, what it means over there is it doesn't mean that every individual guy is that way. It means in general, a person that doesn't have the system of Tayag will not live like an Adam. But that's because the Tayag Mitzvah is necessary in order to raise a person to the level of Adam. But there can be, it's not because of the guy's inherent nature that he doesn't reach it. Inherently, he can reach it. The only thing is that without the system, there isn't that great a chance for them to do it. But inherently, he has the Bechira, he can reach it. He can reach a high level of Adah, very high level. So, so the Ram was disturbed. How could you say about Egyptians that it was already preordained? It was decreed that the Egyptians should work the Jews. This certainly is an Avera. And once that decree was given by the Bris Ben Absorim, it had to occur. Now, what kind of free will does the Egyptian have once this decree is given? That's the Rambam's kasha. Uchasiv, yes, another kasha. V'komo amazeh v'zono acharei elehei nechar oretz. So the pasuk says by Dvarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says that the at the end, right? He said that he knows that after he dies, they're going to serve Avodah Zarah. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was Moshe saying. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'kom Amos Zevzonach Eli Necharatz." So you see that God said that they will serve Avodah Zarah. Hare Gozar Yisrael Lavoid Kum. So you see that he was Gozar on the Jews. He said they will definitely, if God says this will happen, it has to occur. So it means the Jews have no Bechira now. Not just the Kasha and Gayim, Kasha and Jews also. V'lama Nifra Mehen. That's the case. And then why do they deserve an onish? Why should they be punished for something that they had to do? Okay? That's the Rambam's Kasha. That's the Rambam's Kasha. I'm in Perikei Halacha Hei. Already asked the question. It's funny. The Ravid acted up over there. Actually, we got two. Same thing. Really, same. It's the same area. Same area. A little bit, more or less. We'll see. Listen to it. Now, the Rambam says over there, he says, Shema Tema, maybe you'll say, God knows everything that will occur, right? Before it occurs, right? Okay. And he knows that this person will be a tzaddik and this person will be a rasha, right? And the Rambam continues, if he knows the man will be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik. And if you're going to say that he knows he's going to be a tzaddik and it's possible he should be a rasha, then God didn't know it. Okay. So we explained that Rambam once. We explained that Rambam one time. And I guess I'll have to. How many didn't hear that Rambam? Here it is. Maybe you'll say, listen carefully, maybe you'll say, God knows everything that will occur. Everything that will occur. Okay. And before it occurs, he knows that this person will be a tzaddik or a rasha, or he doesn't know. The Rambam's formulation is like very odd, to say the least. This is one Rambam that most people think they understand the Rambam's kasha, but they don't really understand the Rambam's kasha. And if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, you'll see that the Rambam's kasha is not as most people think. Most people think that the Rambam's asking, if God knows it, then therefore there's no more free will, because he knows what's going to happen. So you don't have any free will, right? If you take a look carefully at the Rambam's lashon, you see that's not what he's asking. But listen to the way he formulates. It's like this. He says, maybe you'll say that God knows everything that will occur, and before it happens, he knows that this person will be a tzaddik or a rasha. He should have stopped there. That's it, right? No, he goes on. Three more words. Or he doesn't know. What is or he doesn't know? What is it pretending for? Now he goes on. He says, if he knows that he should be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik. And if you're going to say that he knows that he is a tzaddik, he knows that he will be a tzaddik, and it's still possible that he will be a rasha, then he didn't know the thing well. I mean, what he should have said was, if he knows that he's going to be a tzaddik, it's impossible that he shouldn't be a tzaddik, and therefore there's no bechira, that's all. And what's the second half? He says, and if you're going to say he knows that he's going to be a tzaddik, but it's still possible that he should be a rasha, he didn't know the thing well. Well, what do you mean he didn't know the thing well? Of course, he didn't know it at all. Not he didn't know the thing well. He didn't know it. That's all. If you're going to say that he knows he's going to be a tzaddik, and it's possible that he should be a rasha, then he didn't know it. No, he says he didn't know the thing well. Hey, what kind of a formulation is that, Rambam? So we explain that the Rambam means over here, this kasha, it isn't that because God knows there's no more free will. Because the definition of free will is that you, the individual, is the cause of his own good. That's what free will means. Free will means that the individual is the cause. Now, knowledge, extraneous knowledge from another source has nothing to do with the cause. For instance, if I know that a fire will take place in 24 hours at a certain spot, my knowledge is not the cause of that fire. You understand? Because if it was, then if I would cease to exist, then the fire wouldn't take place. Right? And if you realize that would be an absurdity. So therefore, someone's knowledge as to what will occur is not a causative agent in the occurrence. That was never the Rambam's kasha. God's knowledge as to what will occur does not remove Bechira, because the knowledge is that certain things with certain cause. His knowledge of something is an extraneous thing to the occurrences. If God has knowledge that certain causes will take place, his knowledge isn't the cause. It's knowledge of the causes. And therefore, his knowledge doesn't coerce, just like anybody's knowledge doesn't coerce. If I know that something will occur, that doesn't mean that I'm the cause of it. And if I died and if I didn't know it wouldn't occur, if I wasn't in existence, that has nothing to do with it. If I was the cause, then my knowledge would definitely be necessary in order for the thing to occur. And if I had died or if I didn't exist beforehand, then these things wouldn't occur. You understand what I mean? Let's say, for instance, I know something's going to take place. I know a car will crash into a tree tomorrow. 2:00. So now if you're going to say, because I know it, that that's why it's going to occur, that means if I didn't exist, it wouldn't occur. That's not true. So you see that knowledge is not a causative agent in the phenomenon. Knowledge, on the contrary, knowledge is an extraneous thing. Knowledge only knowledge is of the causative agents that are going on. And since that's the case, it's no question the fact that God knows something doesn't mean that he's a causative agent. He's not a causative agent in the process. It just means he knows the causes, but he isn't the cause. So therefore, since he isn't the cause, so therefore there's no problem with the with why the individual has Bechira Chafshis even though God knows. It's two different things. One thing goes into the other. This Rama is a misunderstood Rama. That's not what the Rama meant to ask. The Rama means something else here. The Rambam's kasha isn't on Bechira Chafshis so much, but his kasha is on God's knowledge. See? That's what the kasha is. And now you see why the Rambam formulates it that way. Rambam's kasha is like this. See, all knowledge is based, knowledge of occurrences. How does God know? The Rambam explains in the Mirah. God knows. The Rambam explains over here really in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, Hilchas Yisrael at Terah. See if I can find it. Hold it a second. Terah, Perik Beis, Halacha Yud. The Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Amito. God knows his essence. The Yodea Osa Kemo Shehi. And he knows it the way it is. Now I say like this. Ve'eno Yodea B'deya Shehi Chutz Mimeno. And God doesn't know things with a knowledge that's extraneous from him. Kemosha anu yodim, like we know. She'ein anu v'daitenu echad. Aval abori yisbarach, hu v'daita v'chaya v'echad, mikol tzad, mikol pina, mikol derech yichud. Now, one second. Chutz min abori, mitzura rishona, ad yitishkot, n'shiyi v'tabara o'oretz, hakol mikolach amitaso nimtzu. Everything that exists comes from his essence. Now, it's like this. Since God knows himself, and he knows his greatness, the Rambam says, God knows everything because he knows himself. You see? That's what the Rambam says. What does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means that God is not to be equated with an observer, like we are. How do we have knowledge of something? Because we observe it. We observe extraneously, we see something occurs. He says God is not that way. God doesn't observe. God doesn't take a look down at the world and say, oh, I see what this person is doing, what that person is doing, or I see that this is occurring and that is occurring. But God knows everything that occurs because he knows himself. He looks into himself and he knows everything. We're using, of course, everything we use here is descriptive. Looks, all these things are descriptive terms, can't be applied to God. But we're just using them because we have no better way of expressing ourselves. But anyways, That's what the Rambam says. So God knows everything because he knows himself. Looks at himself and knows everything. What exactly does the Rambam mean? What kind of an odd thing is this? He looks at himself and knows everything. So if you take a look, the Rambam in the Mara discusses, the Rambam says, there's two types of knowledge. There's a knowledge of the observer, and there's a knowledge of the creator. Simple example. A person could know what time it is on the clock by observing, taking a look at the clock. He sees the clock strikes 10:30. Okay? So he knows that's 10:30. But the clockmaker could also know it's 10:30 without even looking at the clock. Why? Because since he created the clock and he knows the mechanisms, he knows exactly every causative agent that's involved in the work. That's behind, or in the mechanisms behind the clock, and he knows how it's going to occur. Therefore, he knows that at a certain time, after a certain amount of time, it's going to be 10:30. You follow? So let's say, for instance, he has in front of him one of these sand things. You know what they call them? Hourglass, right? He has an hourglass. So he sets up his hourglass a few times, and then I'll say, after 4 hours, right now that clock reads 10:30, even though he didn't look at it. Why? How does he know? Because, not because he observed the clock, but because he understands every causative agent. He constructed the clock. He understands every causative agent involved, and he knows that it has to occur this way, and that has to occur that way, and that's it. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is that in this world is like a big clock, because everything that, when God created it, he put all the causative agents in it. So God knows exactly what's going to occur at any given time. Not because he has to observe like we do. We only have an inferior type of knowledge. We have the knowledge of the observer. We take a look at something, and we see scientific knowledge is all our observation. That's the second, the lower type of knowledge. But I have to take a look at the world, I have to check, see, well, this is occurring, that's occurring, then I try to find the causes. But God knows the causes initially, and therefore he knows that a certain fish is eating a certain worm at a certain time. Because if you had knowledge of every single cause that was put into the world at the time it was created, you'd also be able to know exactly what's going to occur at a certain time. Truth of the matter is, there's no such thing as chance. Chance merely means that you don't know. That's all chance means. But in reality, there's no such thing as chance. When a person shuffles a dice and he throws them on a table and he thinks it's a chance occurrence that they came up 7-Eleven, it's not a chance occurrence. What it means is that if you would really know the causative agents that went on in that, you take a look, you know every motion of the hand, exactly how the dice were rolled, were placed in the hand a certain way, and the muscles moved this way and that way, and therefore there were the dice were caused to go this way, and they left your hand at a certain angle, and they hit the table at a certain angle, therefore you'd know it has to come up to this number. Fellow? The only reason why I think it's chance is because you're not aware, you're ignorant of the causes. But if you were aware of every single causative agent that was involved in that, you'd know exactly how it works. Like Bruce does. That's not knowledge of the observer, that's knowledge of the creator. So the Rambam, that's what the Rambam means when the Rambam says that God looks at himself and he knows everything. He looks at himself, he means his knowledge. Because God has the total knowledge. And since he has the total knowledge of everything, all knowledge stems from himself, so that's why he knows every occurrence when it occurs. Because he put the clock together. Right? Everybody understand that? Yes, no, they're right. The Rambam's question wasn't that because God knows, that the fact that someone knows what's going to happen, that removes free will. Because knowledge is an extraneous thing. See, knowledge is not a causative agent. But the Rambam's kasha is, how does God know? God knows, like he explained before. Because God looks at himself, and he knows the whole world. Because he put everything together. So he knows every cause and every effect. Okay. So the Rambam says that would be good in regard to everything except in regard to human affairs. Because since man has free will, it must necessarily mean that there were no causative agents that were predetermined on the day of creation that will cause him to act this way or to act that way. But he is the sole determinant. Now, if he is the sole determinant, so that means that there is no way to have a previous knowledge of what's going to happen. Because how could you have a previous knowledge of what's going to happen? Previous knowledge of what's going to happen is only based on causality. But in regard to Adam, in regard to man, there's no previous causality. So therefore, it would be impossible for God to know. And if God does know, so then what does it mean? It means that all the causes are there. The dice, just like the dice, it's set. If it's set, then there's no free will. That's the Rambam's kasha. The clock is constructed. Everything's ready to go. Then you could know. But if you're going to tell me that what?
There's no causes,
then you can't know. It's impossible to know. That's the real shot in the Rambam. That's why the Rambam says, that's why he formulates it that way. So he says, Shema Tomar, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyeh. He knows everything is going to be. The Kodem Sheyeh, and before it occurs, Yeda, he knows, Shezei Yeh Tzadik HaRasha, Olo Yeda. Why does he put in Olo Yeda? Because his question is on God's knowledge. His question isn't on... If the question was on Mechira, he wouldn't have said Allah Yehidah. He said already God knows. No, the question is on God's knowledge. Either he knows it, or else he doesn't know it. Now, if he doesn't know, it's like this. If he knows he's going to be a tzaddik, so it's impossible that the person shouldn't be a tzaddik. Why? Because that means that all the causes, if he knows it, it means all the causes are determined. So now it's impossible. V'im tomar sheyedah sheyeh tzaddik, v'ef sheyeh rasha, if you're going to say that he does know that he's going to be a tzaddik, but it still is possible. Why is it possible? Because the causes aren't determined. Harei lo yoda dovra burio. He didn't know it well. Because to know something well means to know the causes. But now if it's possible for a person not to be a tzaddik or not to be a rasha, right? So that means that there's no causes. That means that there's no causality involved. Then how could God say, how could we say that he knew it well? How could he know it? See, Rambam means like this. In relationship, when the Rambam's talking about God's knowledge, Rambam's answer is like this, that God's knowledge is different than our knowledge. That's his answer. And the knowledge that he has is more than causality. It's more than causality. Causality is only the knowledge that we, that a human being has. But God's knowledge is greater, is different. And we can't conceive this knowledge because we only operate with the knowledge of causality. The Rambam's answer, the Rambam holds, that God's knowledge is greater. That's why he says later, the Rabboyo.
What
he means is that how do I know something's going to occur? Because I know that A causes B, right? B causes C, and I know that has to occur that way. Now, if there's another kind of knowledge, like some people will say, well, let's see, he has a certain feeling. He senses something will occur, right?
Right.
It is true that there are other ways of knowing things besides knowing the causality. A person can have a certain sense.
Yeah,
Does believe in psychophenomena.
Does
he does believe in, yes. But he maintains that the ESP, the Ram does offer it. Ram in the Modern Vocal says there is such a thing, yeah. That's right. But That is not real knowledge.
Something that's acquired, maybe.
Well, whatever it is. But it's not what the Rambam calls total knowledge, in a certain sense. Certain sense. But anyways, that's what Rambam is later. That's what Rambam's later is about Bruya. But we can't say that God operates with that, because that's an inferior thing. That's not real knowledge. That's what Rambam says. But in relationship to God's knowledge, the conclusion of the Rambam is that God's knowledge is not like that type of thing. It's not like a sense, because that's inferior to even knowledge. That's inferior to knowledge. But the Rambam says that God's knowledge is a knowledge which really surpasses causality. Knowledge of causality is human knowledge. God's knowledge is knowledge that surpasses causality. Of course, there's one. That's why the Ralbag, Rabbeinu Levi ben Gershom, was a little bit upset about this Rambam, because he said, if that's the case, so then causality really isn't knowledge, because you see, God has a knowledge other than causality. If that's the case, then our knowledge isn't knowledge, and all our knowledge is of causality. So the Ralbag went on a different path, totally different path. A lot of Rishonim were very upset with his conclusions. I have to draw certain conclusions that perhaps God doesn't know everything and every point and every time. Different things. Shem was very upset with his conclusions. But the Rambam, the answer to Rambam, like, Rambam definitely held away. Rambam holds you're not allowed to person that, not allowed to maintain such an idea that God has limited any type of knowledge, even knowledge of particulars. Okay, but the thing is, according to the Rambam, the answer is what?
The answer is
the true way of having, of knowing things, so then it's correct. And if it's not, so then it's nothing, so wasting our time. That what? Not the green. Causality fits into a greater framework. See, it's not false. It fits into a greater framework. And the greater framework is God's knowledge. We only have one part of the framework. So it's not really wrong. It's not really wrong, but it's not the total knowledge. It's not false. But it's not total knowledge. That's what the Rambam holds, yes. That's what the Rambam holds. Terekay already established that knowledge, God's knowledge, doesn't intervene. Because God's knowledge is of a certain nature. How he has this knowledge is the question. The Rambam's question is, how does he have this knowledge? But it's a different kind of knowledge. But knowledge is not a causative agent. Now, what's the Rambam's akasha over here? This is what A.B. was asking. He asked it very quickly in one sentence. It took me about a half hour to explain it. That's what he meant. That the Rambam, what's the Rambam's question over here? Rambam asks a question. He says that these psukim vavodim v'idoyson. No, that's not kasha. It's the same thing the Rambam asked before. The Rambam before mentions, what did he say? He knows what's going to occur, right? And since he knows what's going to occur, so you're going to tell me that there's no bechira? No, that's not even a question. I mean, right? So what is the Rambam asking over here? What's the Rambam asking over here? What's the Rambam asking about Vadim Vinoasam? So what? So God knows a lot of things. He knew about Vadim Vinoasam. He also knew what? He also knows every person. Why do you have to ask a question from the Vadim Vinoasam what the Mitzvah are going to do? Doesn't God know every individual at every moment what's going to happen next minute, 5 minutes later, an hour later, a day, a month later? What? That's a discussion. Why do you have to go to the Pesukim and ask a question from Vadim Vinoasam Every person, he knows every person. And the Rambam discussed that already. The premise is that the fact that God has a knowledge is not a causative agent, so that doesn't cause it. God has this knowledge. It's a certain question. We don't understand his knowledge. His knowledge is qualitatively differentiated than ours. We have knowledge of causality, and his knowledge is a greater knowledge. That's the answer. So why? What was the what's the difficulty now? Well, suddenly the Rambam is asking this question. That question was already taken up before. Wasn't even necessary to take it up. but the fact you have that fact before, certainly you have the fact all the time. We have to have a psukim for it. What's the answer? Vadim Vinosan. So what's the Rambam's kasha? It's no kasha altogether. Right? Okay, what do you say? The Vadim Vinosan is not just something that's going to happen, but it's something that has to happen. Has to happen. Has to happen because of otherwise Klal Yisrael wouldn't be would never be able to be created, and it was part of God's will that the that this should occur. That was the Bris Ben Avraham, that God conveyed His will to Avraham Avinu that His offspring will receive the Torah. V'achrechein yetzav v'chush gadol, and ma'amid Sinai Klal Yisrael was Klal Yisrael. So therefore, that had to occur.
That itself is not
knowledge of what will occur. That was a decree, a gzera, that it must occur. Right? Now, therefore the Rambam's kasha is this isn't just foreknowledge, but it was a historical law. This must occur, just like a law of nature was a historical law. Now, if it is a historical law, then you have a problem. Then already it's not just foreknowledge. Then it means that this definitely must occur. That's the case. And you certainly can't blame the Egyptians. Matter of fact, they were serving a very good purpose. They were bringing about the birth of Klal Yisrael. The Matan Torah. Right? That's the Rambam's kasha. Okay? You know why? It'd be a decree.
Also, the Midrash not good.
What? It would be in their hands, but he knew that they.
Right.
That why do you have to say that this is. When you say a decree, you don't have to say it really is a decree. See? All you have to say really is that God knew that such and such will occur. That's all. He knew that if he would put the Jews in the Egyptians' hands, what bechira they would. What choice they would make. He knew this. That's all. And therefore he decided to put the Jews in their hands. That's all he's saying?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So therefore, the question is no question to begin with, right? Okay, it's a good question. Good question. Let's take a look at the Rambam's answer. Okay, good question. So then, Abi's question comes back. Even if you say it's a decree, why do you have to say it was? The decree is the historical law is only. Right. That's right. It's true there was a historical law that the Jews have to undergo such a thing, but he knew that the Egyptians would be the ones that would make that choice. Coincidental. He goes on the second case where it says that the Jews will definitely serve Avodah Zarah. So he says he didn't say that this particular individual has to serve Avodah Zarah. He's going to be the one that does it. In any one of those people who served Avodah Zarah, even Lerotza Lavod Lohoya Oved. If he didn't want to serve Avodah Zarah, he didn't have to serve Avodah Zarah. And God was only telling us the minute of the world, what is going to happen. What is this similar to? He says, in this nation there's going to be righteous ones and there's going to be Rishayim. So Russia can't say because of that, that already has been, it has already been decreed that I am supposed to be a Russia. Because he told Moshe that there's going to be a Rishayim among the Jews. King Yishinemar, Ki lo yechdal ev yom mikarev haaretz. Like it says, Ki lo yechdal ev yom mikarev haaretz. Does that mean that every person that is an Evion didn't have a choice? No. I'm just telling you that that's the way it's going to be. There are people who are Shlom Zonagas. Okay. Right? Same thing with the Mitzrim. Every single one of those Mitzrim that did bear to the Jews, if if he didn't want to, illa ratzel laharam, if he didn't want to, if they didn't want to do evil to the Jews, he had the right to abstain, not do evil. Shlo gozar al ish yadua. He didn't say on this specific person he's going to do evil. Elohodio shesof zaro osad lishtabe berethlohem. He just said that the fact will be that the Jews will be in a land that's not theirs. And we already explained that a person can't know how God knows future things. That's the Rambam. The question of the Rambam is, what does the Rambam bother with? The Rambam says, I already explained to you, you can't know. And he goes back. He says, I already explained to you, you can't know how God knows what's going to happen. Causality. That we know clearly. Now, what is he saying? What's bothering him over here? And what's his answer? What's bothering him? What's his answer? Now, the Ravid says like this. Listen to the Ravid. We'll go a little bit further. Then maybe we'll try to explain the Rambam. Rav Zelayas. Amar Avram. So the Rav Zelayas. Elahem arichas dvarim. This is lengthy words, she'enon metuvalim, that aren't tasty. V'chaye roshi, is by the life of my head, kemar ani yomah she'en divrei nairis. I think these are silly things. I mean, Rama spoke saying silly words. He says like this. Now this is what Rama says. Yomar habore lezonim. God will say to those who serve the Avodah Zarah, Loma zanisa, why did you serve the Avodah Zarah? Vanilo is karticha b'shem, and I didn't tell you personally, you rebuke over there, you're the one that's supposed to serve Avodah Zarah. He says, Kadesha Tomar she'alecha gzerasi, so in order that you could give yourself an excuse and say that my gzera was on you. So yomru lehazonim, so the ones that serve Avodah Zarah, they'll say back to God, they'll say like this, Valmichol gzerasa, on whom was gzera supposed to be? Alosin shalozonim, and the other ones that didn't serve Avodah Zarah. he may let us come like Zeroska, so then Zer won't be fulfilled. Right?
We don't
get paid off. Okay. So, it's ridiculous. The Mitzri who enslaved the Jew, so God will say to him, I didn't tell you personally to do it. I said, other Egyptians, why you? Oh, me, you didn't mention me. Who did you mention? Him? Him, he, that's the case, and he didn't do it. That's the Rambam's kasha. What's the Rambam's kasha and what's his answer? What do you say? What, which is what? If it's the masses, then it's okay. Then it's no kasha. But if it's individuals already, then you have a problem. So it's not individuals. So it's the masses. Right? The masses. What does Rambam mean? Right, if you want to talk about the masses, God came to Bilam and he said, Mi ho anashim ha'ela imach. Bilam wasn't an idiot. Bilam was a big chacham. So when God came and he said, who are these people that are with you today? So Bilam was of the philosophy that God doesn't know particulars, he only knows universals. And Bilam was more interested in particulars than universals. Because he wanted to, you know what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in one of his letters, he says, even if a tragedy occurs, and even the person, the worst tragedy occurs, and the person loses a child or something, so the person shouldn't let it really destroy him. Why? Because he says God created this world for one purpose, that we should enjoy the universals. He didn't create the world that we should enjoy the particulars. Okay? Knowledge, particulars, specific things. The emotions enjoy particulars. They don't enjoy universals. They enjoy particulars. Bilam Arasha was interested in particulars. Tamar says he wanted money. He said, even if no matter how much money he gives me. So the Gemara says, you see already what he was interested in.
Yeah.
The person doesn't just say, So Bilam Arasha was interested in particulars, but he was also a philosopher. And he maintained that God is above this, God is in the world of universals, but he doesn't know particulars. Which, according to his flow, which was very convenient for him, because he said, but I will be able to know the particulars. He saw that certain particulars he knows. Certain particulars he doesn't know. So he thought it was based upon the universals, that through certain universals he knows certain particulars, but he won't know all the particulars. His idea was to be able to have knowledge of certain particulars which God doesn't have knowledge of, and then he could do what he wants, because he was interested in the particulars. He was a Rasha, but he was a Chacham, you know what I mean? That's not, he wasn't a jerk. He knew he had a plan. Okay. But Yahadis maintains that God knows every single particular. As a matter of fact, that's where it says the pasuk over there. It says by what was the pasuk over there? Star as Rova Yisrael, that God knows the exact sperm that's going to make contact with the egg in order to create the tzaddik. That's part of the tikkun. So it says when Dovah Rasha said that, it's astounded. He thought to himself that was Derech Zayin. How could God think of these type of things? But also the idea of the particulars, every single particular. But Yadis maintains God knows every single particular, every single microscopic phenomenon that goes on. That's what Yadis maintains. Ram doesn't deny that. That's part of our dust. It means that a law, whenever a decree is given, a decree can only be given in particular, not in universals. You see? In other words, if something must occur, then all the particulars involved must be set up a certain way. Otherwise, you can't say that it must occur. Do you follow what I mean? All right. If you're going to say, for instance, that a certain phenomenon is going to take place, that there's going to be a sun is going to be created, let's say. Now, how will the sun be created? Through certain atoms coming together at a certain time and moving there. It can't be done in universals. It has to be done in particular. This particular atom and this particular atom and all the other ones will have to get together at a certain point and certain interrelationships. Whenever something must occur of necessity, it automatically means that particulars must be determined. You cannot say that something must occur without relating to particulars. Otherwise, it doesn't have to occur. Do you follow what I mean? Do you understand? Okay. That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means like this. That when the Torah says that the Mitzrim will enslave the Jews, the Rambam means like this. That if you... Do you understand? Okay. That's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means like this. That when the Torah says that the Mitzrim will enslave the Jews, the Rambam means like this. That if you're going to say that it had... If you're going to say that it was a decree, that means that it must occur, so then certain mitzvah must have been set up that they're going to do this. Otherwise, you can't say it must occur. Do you follow? So the Rambam's kasha was like this. He says, since God said that the mitzvah are going to enslave the Jews and this must occur, so therefore you're going to think they have no bechira. Why? Because if it must occur, it has to be preordained. Preordained means that certain individuals must be set up to do a certain thing. Who? What? You can't tell you. How can God say, generally speaking, this is going to occur? What do you mean? You have to refer to particulars. For something to have to occur, you must make reference to particulars. You understand what I mean? So the Rambam says, the Rambam's kasha was, maybe you'll ask a kasha. The Torah says that the Egyptians are going to enslave the Jews, so you see that it must occur. Now, once it must occur, it means the causes were set up already, then the Egyptian has his excuse. He says, look, it's not my fault. Right? So the Rambam answers, he says no. He says, it doesn't say which particular mitzri. Does it say this mitzri or that mitzri? No, it doesn't say this mitzri or that mitzri. If it doesn't say particulars, then what does it mean? Then it means that it wasn't preordained that it has to occur. If it was preordained that it has to occur, then set up. God didn't set up the causes of necessity. Because if God would have set up the causes of necessity, he would have had to involve certain particulars in order to achieve the goal. Because whenever you're going to achieve a goal, of necessity means certain particulars have to be set up a certain way, otherwise you can't achieve the goal. Right? Now the Rambam's saying is that since God didn't say this mitzvah or that mitzvah, so therefore you see that he didn't set up the causality. You understand what I mean? So what was it? So if that's the case, it was just because of God's knowledge, just like he knows whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. He knew that certain Egyptians were going to do it. Right? You see? So it wasn't Gzera. That's what the Rambam says. And that's why the Rambam concludes. He says, and now I explained to you already that a person... Why does he bring in the previous chapter, Parakeh? Because the Rambam says, now once I say this, So now you see it wasn't a causality set up by God, because if it was a causality set up by God, then it would of necessity have to involve what?
Particulars.
That's the way it has to work. You're going to say this is going to occur. How is it going to occur? This is going to cause this, that's going to cause that. It must be only through particulars. So he says, but no, it wasn't through particulars, right? It didn't say this mitzvah or that mitzvah. Now if it wasn't through particulars, so therefore there was no chain of causality that was set up by God. Now there's no interference with the free will. But the only thing is that God was saying that I know this will occur, right? But then you ask me, how does he know? Once he knows, it's also the question of there must be causality involved. He says that already. I told you in a previous chapter. I thought that the Rambam was saying that because God doesn't say a particular person, that's why, since he didn't say you, so that's why, in other words, the Rambam thought that it already has been set up, as the causality set up, but not in particular. So the Rambam asked, how is that possible? So who's supposed to do it? The Rambam understood the Rambam to mean that it is a gzera, but the gzera is that from this nation, certain amount of people, X amount of people will do such, right? So he says, well, what is that X? That was the Rambam's kasha. What the Rambam meant to say was that since God didn't say in particular, so therefore you see it wasn't a causal chain. Now if it wasn't a causal chain, so therefore God didn't set it up as an exeris, it must occur. Otherwise it would have to involve particulars. So therefore he was just predicting that it will occur because he knows the nature of the people. Right? Now he lets me question, but if he knows already, once he knows the nature of the people, so then it must be causality. So that already I told you, that's God's knowledge, it's different than the human knowledge. That's the general. His psukim is, you don't understand. The whole Rambam, we start off at the beginning. The Rambam is trying to show you in this parak that certain psukim in the Torah are not to be misconstrued. That's what the Rambam is doing. Just like he says in the beginning, in the same halacha, he says, "Alken yerachatayim baderach." So you might think that it means that God causally is involved in determining how the chatayim live, right? He says, and maybe you'll think the pasuk, the same question, the pasuk v'avodim v'yinosam, maybe you'll think that it's a causal chain that was set up by God. He says, I'll show you it wasn't. How? What's the proof it wasn't? Because there was no particular mitzvah involved. In order, if it was supposed to be that he was supposed to definitely cause this thing to occur, right? That had to be. Then you would of necessity have to involve particulars. But you see, there were no particulars involved. So therefore, it was just a prediction of what's going to occur. Now it's involved in the other question that God has knowledge. Of course, that's the question. Why knowledge not like God's knowledge? That's the right. Okay. If you're going to have a specific thing occur, there's a historical law that it must occur, etc., then you have to involve yourself in particulars, otherwise it's impossible. The Rambam says, it's not this guy, you understand?
What's kind of a point that wasn't brought up? The question I mentioned, the idea of the soul having free will, right? Now people ask the question, they say that if the soul has free will, they say then it's a denial of causality. It's a denial of causality. They say because causality maintains that everything has a cause. Right?
Yeah.
Now over here you're telling me that a human being could choose either way. But what's the cause of that? So you're saying there's no cause. It's a denial of causality. I saw one book on Jewish philosophy that says that now today the scientists deny causality. So therefore there's no problem with free will anymore. But the... But the question is a question. That's the question. Yeah, it's changed, right. But it's not a denial of causality.
It is a denial of
causality. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Causality has lost its vitality. All right. But at any rate, let me ask you a question. How can you say the free will is denied causality? Take a look. Besides knowledge itself, that's very practical. It's very important to practice. But that's practical significance with regard to others, too. Sometimes you could be giving a class something to make it flow, as far as Kiddush and Shemayim. It's important to know the argument for yourself. But the question is, causality. How can you say man has free will? Once you say this causality, it means I could choose A or B. There is nothing at all which is determining my choice. And therefore, you're saying that there's no causal agent, which means that basically you're denying causality.
Right.
In
order to have a version of
Saviour,
you have to have the action being caused by the will.
That's right.
And
what
caused
the will?
The will caused by the action.
Okay. All right. Why do I maintain the determinism?
Who's that over there?
Is that an Oni? You got to come in for an Oni. Give him to you.
Okay. Or if you know the person psychologically, if you know his psyche, you know his makeup, you find out what the eventual cause is. A person who walks by a hamburger stand and he says, I think I'll have a hamburger. Nah, I think I want to go by. He walks down the block and he tries to change his mind and walks back. And they'll say, for every single move he made, there is a cause. You know the personality well enough, you'll understand why. The smell of the hamburger brought his memory, traces of eating hamburgers, and his mother made it for him, so he wanted it. Then he thought of the doctor, said he's too fat, so he decided to walk away. And it was, you know, a chain, causal chain of events. So work it out. Yeah. I make a choice. You say that he can go either this way or that way. And there's nothing which determines, whether he chooses A or B, right? So there's no causal agent to determine what he should do. You're saying there's no causality. What? He's very good. He's on the right track. What'd you say? Say the letter. Okay, what was the question? Remember we asked, everybody always asked the question, who created God? Right?
Right.
So what's the answer?
By definition.
The answer is by definition is not the question. Why? Because it's nature is to exist. And that's our existence, right? It's nature is to choose. The soul means, when we say the soul is free, we mean there is an existence whose nature it is to choose. Now, that's not a desire. That's not a denial. Denial of causality means that you're saying that there is something exists which has no cause. We aren't saying there's something exists. On the contrary, we're saying this soul is nature is to choose. It's caused by God. We're not denying it, but we're saying its inherent nature is to choose. Therefore, you can't ask the question what determines its choice, because that's its nature. You know, you can never ask. The only reason you have a question is say, what caused this table? Because its nature isn't to exist. So you ask what caused it, right? But if something. So when you ask what coerced the will to choose, what you're saying is its nature is not to choose. Once its nature is to choose, then you can't ask what coerced the will to choose, because that's its nature. Then you can say what caused its existence? That's God. Okay, do you understand it? Just think it over. Denial of causality. Denial of causality. What's wrong with the denial of causality? Because all existences cannot exist unless there's something which caused them, right? You can't say what caused the table. You're going to deny it. Say nothing caused the table. Sir. Right? But again, remember we said you can't ask why is water wet. You say why is water hot, but not why is water wet. Why is water hot means it doesn't have to be hot. There must be a causative agent to change it. Right? From cold to hot. That's by nature. It's cool. Right? But you can't ask why is water wet because that's the nature of the substance. That's why you can't ask what caused God to exist. Because his nature is to exist. You can't ask that question. It's a foolish question. You can't ask why a thing is the way it is. That's its nature. So God's nature, existence, is tied up with his nature. So you can't ask why does he exist. That's part of his nature to exist. You understand? It's an absurd question. In regard to the soul, if you maintain this free will, so what you're saying is, there is something whose nature it is to choose. Right? Now you can't ask what caused it to choose. That's its nature. You understand what I mean? Just like it's the same exact reasoning as you have in relationship to necessary existence. That's the basic idea of necessary existence in relationship to God. That's the basic idea. The same idea. There's no difference between applying it here and applying it there. You understand what I mean? What don't you understand, Gert? Okay. You go straight to Kaddish Baruch Hu just like this. They'll say, oh, you're saying that God left, I think Russ says, God left an area in nature that doesn't work with causes. You see? No. There's nothing. What's wrong with not working with causes is because you're saying that something exists without accounting for it. That's what. What is causality? It means you're failing to account for something. It's not that we have to have a belief in causality or causality is a religion. It means causality means you're not failing to account for something, for the existence of something. So that's why denial of causality is not rational. But if I can account for something, then the question is, how can you say God exists? Where's causality? The answer is because we say that's his nature. Once his nature is not, there's no reason to account for it anymore. That's his nature. The same thing with a relationship to the soul. The question is, how do you account for a soul making a choice? How do you account for that choice? The soul itself, that's the account for, because that's its nature. You know, you understand what I mean? I mean, it's a little bit abstract, but think about it. That's a sub-question. It's nature, in other words, is to exist. Insofar as God is concerned, right? Insofar as the soul is concerned, its nature is to choose. Okay? The same thing with God, its nature, his nature is to exist, right? It doesn't mean that this is the... You can't say that's the essence of God. But to know that his nature exists doesn't mean that it's the essence of God. It means it's tied in with his essence. Let me put it that way. Tied in with his essence. You understand what I mean? You understand that? The same thing is over here. Okay. Okay, yeah. Part of definition.
Is this correct?
I would choose the right though. It's part of the definition. Whether that's the entire definition, one of the aspects of the definition, that depends on the going through the definition. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's part of the definition.